Right, here he is. We've joined. He's joined us. Lake Lewis Jr., NFL Insider, Commanders Insider, SportsJourney.com. Big brother of mine, mentor of mine. We used to do this in person way back in the day, back in the DMV. What was it, on Tuesdays? I think it was Tuesdays. I don't know.
Tuesdays, I think we just Mondays and Thursdays, you know.
Yeah, we used to have a radio show on sportsjourney.com, so it's always cool to have him come join me on my show over here on the Believe in Commander show. First and foremost, you were in Detroit at the draft. So yeah. Between the two of us, one's an NFL player and one of us has been to the draft, and it's not the same person. How was being at the draft? What was it like?
It was electric, man. It really was, you know. And, you know, normally for stuff like that, I'm just like, you know, I don't really want to go, to be honest with you. Obviously, with the job, you have to. But I just was, this year, I wanted to see what the atmosphere was going to be like. For one, it was in Detroit, as you know. And Detroit's coming off a really kind of like special season, magical season for them, where they were a couple of plays away from getting to the Super Bowl. So I wanted to see how the vibe was for a football setup. And I got to tell you, man, it was electric. It was wild. And Detroit did a great job with it. And then, of course, there were a lot of Commanders fans who made the trip there. So it was pretty good.
All right. Good. I mean, it looked like it was awesome because you saw – I think they said it was upwards of like 250,000 people had come out to that place. Yeah. I mean, it was a sea of people. Wild to think about. Do you think they're going to do one in D.C.?
What do you think? I think they will. Down here? I do. I know if from what I was told, D.C. was one of the finalists for this, you know, with Detroit and Green Bay, I think. And Green Bay is next year. So... Okay. You know, you can kind of put some things together there.
All right. That would be good. That'd be good. I mean, shoot, that's a couple years down the line. So you're thinking with 2026. And I mean, shoot, just with the way the league works, like most players, they need a couple years to get their feet wet. That'll be a couple years into new ownership. But then it's a perfect time to go back and look at Adam Peters' first draft.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? What would you grade it? I mean, maybe you don't have a letter grade, but what do you think about his first draft?
Man, it was strong. It was, you know, I don't mind giving the letter grade because I have to do it on my thing later. I give it an A-. The only reason I didn't give it an A or A+ was just because, you know, you still have to see what they do on the field. But I'm telling you, man, you know, the fact that they didn't, obviously, there was a need of quarterback, right? And you draft a quarterback. You draft a franchise caliber quarterback in Jaden Daniels. But after that, I kept telling people, yeah, you know, in a perfect world, you come out of this draft with a starting left tackle. But it looks like they still might, you know, having taken one in the fourth round. So I just keep telling people that when you're not a good football team, which this outfit hasn't been for some time, sorry, you know, you probably were one of the last ones that had hope, you know, but it just hasn't been good. But when you're not a good team, a good outfit, you don't have the luxury of saying, we're going to pick this person, we're going to pick that person, we're going to pick for need and all, because you have needs, plural.
Yes, yes,
and,
yes.
And the biggest need, I've always said, Anthony, is take no offense, you know, it's not to be offensive towards current players, but this organization in the past had a history of inflating players to be all pro caliber players, and they weren't. Yeah. Not saying that they weren't good football players, professional players, but they weren't Pro Bowl caliber players. But around the DMV, you would think that player was because of the way the team promoted and pushed. So I think that when you have a chance to draft really good football players that you saw doing it day in and day out on Saturdays, it doesn't matter what position you took. And so I say all this, Anthony, because naturally they took the D tackle in Illinois, and people were in a tizzy. Like, what are they doing?
They got a dog, man.
That's the defensive player of the year, Big Ten defensive player of the year. He's a monster. And you figure all the other stuff out later. If he fell in your lap, I don't care that you have two tackles that you have a lot of money put into. One of them's contract is over next year. I'm drafting.
About what, 30? And I think he's about 29 or 30 too. So he's getting older. Look, I had to go cut on the tape, and I'm going to do an episode of the show. I'm going to break down some of the highlights I've seen. That guy is a monster. He gets involved multiple ways. He gives me Aaron Donald vibes. Like it's to that level. And now you got to rethink, like, man, Aaron Donald, that's lofty, but like, he's done this to big tackles, small, like guards. He's done this from a zero technique at the point of the center, all the way up and down that line. So you're going to see a John Allen, Deron Payne, and Johnny Newton lineup with Dorrance Armstrong on the other side. And you're going to see him win on the edge. So Johnny Newton is a hell of a player. I thought the draft was A-minus as well. The one part, and I can say the only reason I say I had a big frustration with it is the trade with Philly. Because when I turned up, I looked up, I missed the Johnny Newton pick. And then I looked up, and then I'm like, okay, Washington's up again. And then, they traded. And then it said Philly. And I was like, now, hold on now, Adam. Now, you tripping. It's like, you can't do certain things.
You don't make a team in your division better at any cost, even if it helps you get better.
And definitely not Philly.
I thought that, too. I did.
But, I mean, that's just, you know, a little rivalry thing. It's like two things. Don't do it with Dallas and don't do it with Philly. You know, that's kind of what the rule is on the onset. But you talked about having multiple holes to fill. The dude cleaned off the grocery store shelf and got everything on the list he was sent out there for.
Everything.
Everything. And all of them, you're like, okay. All right. And I agree. The one question mark is Coleman. But when you look at his tape, I mean, I looked at his tape a little bit. He'll have to work on getting back. He has to be able to get a good kick back because he likes to short set every time. If he gets them paws on you, you're not going anywhere. Right. So he will manhandle people. He's like Debo. He's going to manhandle him, but if he learns how to kick slide and gets a little bit more nimble in his feet, you may have yourself somebody. But paired with Jaden Daniels, you got a guy that can evade and work the pocket a little bit. So
Exactly.
I mean, everything aligned.
And you know, I also say this too. People don't talk about this as much as I wish they would. Okay, who was next to Coleman at TCU? Okay. Who's the guard that was lined up next to him? And I don't know. That's my whole point. I know he wasn't drafted. So my point is, you know, sometimes you may look better than what you are if you have great talent around you. But then sometimes you may not have looked as good as you really can be if you didn't have that same quality of person lined up beside you. Mm. Well, he's coming to the pros and he's going to have, you know, a professional professional guard next to him, which should help him. He's going to have better coaching. He's going to have, like you said, an evasive quarterback who can make plays with his legs. He's going to have some dynamic wide receivers on both sides of the field. He's going to have a running back that can, that can sledgehammer you. Also proved last year he can catch the ball up the backfield. And then you're bringing in one of the best ever pass catching backs. And Austin Eckler, who's a red zone monster. That's what he does. He scores touchdowns. I just think everything's set up for Coleman to come in and start. I say by week four, if Cornelius Lucas isn't getting it done, which I think Cornelius can do, by the way, Anthony. I really do. I thought that he was getting the raw end of the deal last year, and he should have been on the field a lot more. So whole nother story.
Yeah, there's always more to it, you know, but I mean, hey, solid player. They liked him enough to bring him back, you know, so, you know how I think. If I'm in the building, I got a chance. So, hey, he may have improved a lot and he can still improve over this offseason. But staying there on Jaden, you got to interview him, right? I saw you got to talk with him. You say you were one of the first to speak with him. What are your impressions of the guy? Like, as obviously we know what's on tape. We know that he's electric. He's a runner and, nice sense of style and thing of that nature. But what do you feel about him? What is your first thoughts after speaking with him?
man, he was, it was, you know, I've been trying to find the right word to use for the last 3-4 days since I spoke with him. And I probably can just say, you know, he was humble, but he was confident and not cocky, not arrogant. And you being a former pro athlete, you know the difference between confidence and cocky. And that kid is not cocky at all, not arrogant. He was just very forthright in his answers. He knew what he wanted to say. He thought about what he was going to say. And for me, when he said, and he said this off the air, you know, this is off the recording, that, you know, he wants to, he's a rookie. He said, I'm just a rookie. I haven't done anything in this league. He said, so the franchise tag and like, no, you know, being labeled a franchise quarterback. He said, no, he said, I haven't done anything. I've got to prove myself. I've got to earn everything. And he said, but nothing has ever come easy for him. So that's the way, that's what you want. You know, you want a guy that wants to be great, but knows that it's going to take some time.
Yes, that is definitely good to hear, you know, because and then you look at the roster, the way it's built. You got Bobby Wagner, you've got, you know, older players that can, you know, stand up for things and make sure rookie stays in line. You know what I mean? So I'm glad to hear that he's coming in humble. He'll be able to learn and be willing to soak in and do the work and not be afraid to get corrected on a few things. Let me ask you this. We were talking about Brandon Coleman, but including some of the other draft picks, maybe not Jaden Daniels, take him out of the mix. Who do you see is your person to most exceed their expectations?
Man, you know, that's a great question, Anthony. I mean, they've drafted a couple of players that I really was impressed with. Naturally, I think Newton's going to really surprise people with how good he is and how versatile he is. So that's, you know, but that's your second pick. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of are expecting that. I'm probably going to say Luke McCaffrey, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And I say that because I think out of all the players that were drafted, he's the one that some fans are still like, there were some other receivers they could have grabbed before him. Well, you know, it's in the bloodlines for one. So, you know, you're going to get a competitive dog coming in. If anything, that guy is competitive because of who his brother was, because of who his father was, because of who his mother was. You know, she's a gold medalist. So, you know, it's just some competitive genes in there. Yeah. And I think, honestly, for Washington, they need a slot receiver in the worst way. And I think that's going to be him. I think he's going to be wide receiver 3 this year. I truly, truly believe that. And I think it helps, you know, Terry continue to be Terry. And I think Jahan can rebound from it because he can allow him to be that big play guy that he was at you know, that school sitting right there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I don't know how Penn State always finds its way into the conversation. You'd be passing by.
All over the league, man. That's just what it is. So. I think Luke McCaffrey, I think he's definitely going to take some people by surprise this year. And he's pretty fast, too. He's faster than his brother.
Yeah, 4.48 or 4.46 or something like that. I was surprised.
Yeah. So he's a guy that can get the ball and make some plays with it after the catch. So excited to see what he can do.
We're joined by Lake Lewis here on the show, NFL Insider, Commanders Insider, SportsJourney.com. All around good guy. Make sure y'all always check him out. Follow him at Lake Lewis on all social media platforms, or at Lake Lewis Jr., I should say. So it's out there. Let's go. Let's look into the future a little bit. Obviously, I think we could pick what position, but, you know, what positions in your mind, or have you heard anything that they're trying to focus on in free agency to make some final additions to this team ahead of training camp?
Well, you know, you're going to have your second, you know, your second wave of free agency later on in the summer. And you and I both know that's where it's players that I wouldn't say are at the end of the road, but some of these guys may have massive contracts and teams, you know, sometimes part ways with you at that point. So if you're Washington, you know, maybe you're looking at some potential, you know, veteran left tackles. but I think when that time comes around, you'll pretty much have seen, obviously not in pads and things like that, in game action, but you'll get a chance to see how Cornelius Lucas, as well as Coleman, you know, who they just drafted, you'll be able to see how they're kind of adapting in the offense. And I think it'll help them determine what they're going to do. But for right now, I think that they're pretty comfortable with their free agent class as well as their draft class to pair up with the players that they brought back to hit the ground running. Them days.
Ah, man. All right. So good, solid draft from this team. I wanted to go back on Luke McCaffrey for a little bit. I mean, he's very young in the position, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's very intriguing. I played ball with Ryan Tannehill a little bit in Miami, where he was a former receiver turned quarterback. So this is right. The opposite way. And he's learning quickly. So he's going to have the benefit of learning from being in the quarterback room, mm-hmm. right? Having that understanding. Plus he has an NFL Hall of Fame daddy, right? So should be in the Hall of Fame. He is. I'm off at this point, but hell of a player, had a great career, and his brother's pretty good too. So he's got the coaches. He's going to have some people around him help him. So that will be intriguing where he fits in that. But whenever you add in Ben Sinnott, that's something to consider as well. How do you see they're going to use him?
I like Ben Sinnott, and I think that he is he's a Travis Kelce type, you know, a guy that runs routes, can catch, but it's tough. And I think that's going to be the key thing. This is going to jump off at a lot of people is how tough this guy is. I mean, he can block as well. He's a mauler. But when you look at how nimble a foot he is, I mean, he looks like the more of the today's modern type of tight ends. And I think that he's going to be able to learn from a guy that was really good in his time, in his heyday, in Zach Ertz. So I think, you know, that's an acquisition that's going really unnoticed. And Zach Ertz, Ben Sinnott, you know, if it's Cole Turner, whoever, John Bates, whoever is in that tight end room, are going to become best friends with a rookie quarterback and Jaden Daniels real quick. Because as you know, Anthony, they always look for those guys as security blankets when you guys are getting jammed at the line or running the wrong route.
Hey, watch out there. Watch out now. Watch out now. And Mercy, they know what they're doing down there up there, man. So you don't see that. You ain't going to see that happening too much. But I will say this, though. Ben Sinnott, he's already been training with Jaden out there in California for a little bit. So they have a little bit of a connection. It'll be interesting to see how that gets played out. But let's go league-wide before I let you go. What other team in the league do you think had a pretty good draft? I'm going to take this one off the board first. I think Minnesota did pretty good. You know, the way that they were able to navigate things, they didn't necessarily have to jump up and overspend for a quarterback, you know, try to jump up to two or three or do something like that. Still getting J.J. McCarthy and then getting the top 10 talent Dallas Turner at 17. Hell, you got to think they did a great job replacing Danielle Hunter and Kirk Cousins in one draft. Come on now, that's pretty good.
They sure did, and potentially those could be upgrades, you know, if you know, things go well. So I think the Bears clearly helped themselves. I mean, that was easy. You got, you know, pick at number one and then number nine, and you get yourself an All-American wide receiver and a franchise quarterback. I mean, that's good. So I like what they did, but I the two teams to me outside of the Commanders, because I have the Commanders right there at the top. You know, if they're not one, they're no worse than three. This is our third best draft. So if we have to put two other teams up there, Chicago, I'd have it four, but I'd have the Rams. The Chargers. I would have the Chargers with Harbaugh. I think they did a phenomenal job with some of the pieces that they brought in. And I think that they're going to help Matt. I think they're going to help Justin Herbert quite a bit. And then the other team that I think did a phenomenal job is Pittsburgh Steelers. They shored up a lot of holes on their offensive line, and they're trying to, you know, get that Steeler football back to just being very physical, attacking you. And I think that they've really helped themselves. And if I'm not mistaken, they picked up, didn't they get the kid from Michigan, the wide receiver, if I'm not
mistaken? Roman Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, Roman Wilson. So I like that quite a bit. Yep.
All right, so we got a new guest that showed up for the show, special guest appearance here. That means this time is over. Lake, I got to let you go. I appreciate you, chiming in and joining us. We'll have to check back with you whenever there's OTAs and mini camps and things going on. Because I heard at least right now it was 100% attendance of the veterans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's come in as they should. I mean, new coach. I mean, basically, you got new owner, new GM, new coach, new coaching staff, new grounds crew, everything. So you better have shown up.
Yeah, he ain't lying. So make the right decision to show up on those voluntary mandatory workouts. So make sure y'all tune into all your favorite streaming platforms, listen on SiriusXM Stadium and everywhere else. Hit that notification bell on YouTube and hit us up on Twitter at Believe Commanders. I want to hear what y'all's thought is. Who's y'all's breakout player? I also got my eye on the kid from Michigan. I got a feeling that he's going to be a little feisty thing. Yeah. How you say it?
Saint Ristil.
Okay, good.
It's like Saint Ristil.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna say it. You know, I'm going to practice that, so I'll be much better at it. Saint Ristil, Mike Saint Ristil. I think he's a special player. But
I do too.
Former receiver turned DB. Dan Quinn's had success with that. Mm-hmm. Going all the way back to Richard Sherman. So instinctually, he should be able to pick up on some things. So let's see if he has some success. I'm interested to see what Emmanuel Forbes does this year, but we'll talk about that out at a later date. And make sure y'all understand this show is brought to you by betonline.ag. It's where the game starts. Y'all go over there, use our code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, get that 50% welcome bonus. Lake, I appreciate you, man. On the next one. For Lake and myself, Anthony Armstrong, we'll see you on the next episode of Believe in Commanders. Y'all be good.